السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لقد كان لكم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم ان آیات کا ترجمہ یہ ہے پہلی آیت سورہ احزاب کی کہ یقیناً تمہارے لیے اللہ کے رسول
The translation of these verses of the Holy Quran is as follows. The first verse is from Surah Al-Ashab. Verily, you have in the Prophet of Allah an excellent model for him who fears Allah and the last day and who remembers Allah much. The second verse is from Surah Al-Imran. The translation of this verse is, Say, if you love Allah, follow me. Then will Allah love you and forgive you your faults. And Allah is most forgiving, merciful. In order to become the recipient of the divine grace, favors and blessings, Allah the Supreme has taught us that become my abd, my servant. Become such servants of mine who follow my commands. In the last khutbah, that is the Friday sermon, this is what I mentioned. That to follow the commands of Allah the Almighty brings a person into the area of true servitude. For this purpose, Allah the Almighty has revealed countless commands which man should strive to implement. This is so that he can come to corroborate the command of Allah that fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi, that so they should hearken to me and believe in me. And thus become the recipient of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. So that they can become a true abd of God, a true servant of Allah the Supreme, and so that they can come to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and witness the manifestation of the acceptance of prayers. The injunctions and commands of Allah are found in the Holy Quran, which we read and listen. However, Allah the Almighty has made human nature such that it is more influenced generally by practical example in comparison to just reading and listening. And this creates a yearning and a keen desire. When one professes to love another person, he tries to adopt every practice and every act of the beloved. And thus, the nature of that act transforms altogether. However, when faith becomes instilled in this expression of love, and due to this love, one desires to make that beloved one his role model, then at that point, there is no greater desire for a mu'min that is a true believer, and there should not be any greater desire but to keep his beloved one happy, to secure his own faith and to progress in the faith. We are fortunate that Allah the Exalted has made us from amongst the Ummah, the people, or the community of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was made by Allah the Almighty a practical example of all the Quranic commandments. His practical example was such that it was perfect. This made the Holy Prophet an Abd-e Kamil, a perfect servant. In the aforementioned verses that I recited, attention has been drawn towards this. In fact, it has been commanded. The faith of one who claims to believe will be perfected and completed. He will be able to attain nearness to Allah the Almighty at that point, when he follows the Usfa, the blessed model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without this, the faith is incomplete. Without following this Usfa, this blessed model, it is useless to hope for a good hereafter. Without following this blessed model, piety cannot truly be called piety. Without following this blessed model, worship of God the Almighty is not really worship. Without following this blessed model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dhikr, that is remembrance of God, cannot attain for one that station which leads to nearness to God. Without following this blessed model, it is impossible to obtain salvation from one's sins. Without following this blessed model, one cannot partake in a share of the rahimiyat of Allah the Almighty, that is His mercy and compassion, for which one is supplicating and begging Allah the Almighty for. Without following this blessed model, you cannot become one who attains the love of God. For here, this is the most beloved person in the sight of God. If you do not follow him, then you will also not acquire the love of God. Thus, as I mentioned, it is our good fortune that we are Muslims. However, to derive benefit for being in the Ummah of the Holy Prophet and for being a Muslim can only occur at that point, when we make endeavors to follow in the footsteps of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When we strive to adopt the commands upon ourselves in such an excellent manner that was shown to us by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. By saying Imamu Junnatun, that the Imam is like a shield, he has reminded us towards this verse that my example, rather than anyone's efforts, can safeguard one from Satan and make one into a true abd, a true servant. If you remain behind my shield, you will remain protected from Satan. With regards to the question of worship, do not assume that if you act in any such way that is not amongst my practices, that you can fulfill the right of worship to God, or that through it, you can obtain the love of God. No, this is impossible. In this age, it is a favor of the promised Messiah alayhi salam upon us, who was the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he guided us to the true example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and its true understanding and implementation. There are new innovations for worship where people gather together and apparently remember God in certain ways. With regards to these innovations, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated that these cannot be supported from the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for this reason, they can never be a means of bringing one near to God. Thus, in order to acquire nearness to God, it is essential to follow the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At this time, I shall present some examples of the practical model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, before I do so and present the standard of worship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his also other practical examples, which are a source of guidance for us. By acting upon which, we can become true abds, true servants of God, and can become those who come to attain His love. I will first present some extracts of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, with regards to what he has said regarding the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What in the promised Messiah alayhi salam's view he has said with regards to the station of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this context, this is what I shall present first. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَغْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. That say, O my servants, who have committed excesses against your own selves, despair not of the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah will forgive all sins. Now the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, in this verse, instead of saying قُلْ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, which would mean, O servants of Allah, instead the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded to say قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, that is, O my servants. This verse was revealed in this form so that God Almighty might convey the good news of limitless mercies and might comfort those who are broken-hearted and disappointed in consequence of their sins. Thus, Allah the Glorious desired to exhibit a sample of His mercies and to make it manifest to what extent He honors His faithful servant with His special favors. That is to say, those people who are completely frustrated due to the magnitude of their sins, that they should be informed. The mercy of Allah is limitless and is full of rewards and bounties. The promised Messiah continues, thus through the words قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, that say, O my servants, God in effect says, look at my beloved messenger. Look at this noble person and see at what high rank he has arrived through his perfect obedience to me. Look at my beloved messenger and see at what high rank he has arrived through his perfect obedience to me, that now all that is mine is his. He who desires salvation should become his servant. That is to say, he should obey him so perfectly as if he was his slave. Then, whatever sins he might have committed will be forgiven him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, it should be known that the word abd in the Arabic lexicon also means a slave. As Allah the Glorious states, وَلَا عَبْدُ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِ. In the verse to which we have drawn attention, it is indicated that he who desires salvation should establish the relationship of a slave with his prophet. That is to say, he should not step outside his commandment. He should consider himself bound to his obedience as a slave. In other words, one should obey this Nabi, this prophet, as a slave obeys his master. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says it is then that he will attain salvation. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then states, one pities those benighted souls who bear such rancor towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they consider that names like Ghulam Nabi, Ghulam Rasul, Ghulam Mustafa, and Ghulam Ahmad and Ghulam Muhammad amount to associating the Holy Prophet with God, that is shirk, whereas the verse indicates that these names are a means of salvation. That is, if with love and in the true sense people keep these names in view and rectify their actions, and that they come to encompass their attributes, it is then that through this, salvation is obtained. Otherwise, this does not mean that just by having this name, salvation is attained. That you have this name and you can carry out as many vices as you want and still obtain salvation. This is not the case. Thus, this statement should be pondered and reflected upon, where he says, he should not step outside his commandment. That is to say, one should not come out of the remit of those commandments. This statement in particular is extremely important. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states further, as Abd implies that a person so named should refrain from every kind of freedom and self-direction. That is, servitude truly occurs when no freedom of yours remains, and nor does a person make his own decisions in accordance with whatever he pleases. He removes himself from this. And he should be completely obedient to his master. Therefore, the seekers after truth have been urged that if they wish to attain salvation, they should adapt themselves to this condition. In reality, this verse has the same connotation as the verse, "Kun in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum." In their meanings, both verses are the same. That is, the first verse and this verse, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, contain the same meaning. This is because perfect following demands a devotion and full obedience, which is conveyed in the expression of Abd. That is, the pinnacle of obedience and following is necessary for perfect and complete obedience. If one truly obeys, then there will be true following. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, which is conveyed in the expression Abd. The entire sentence reads that perfect following demands that devotion and full obedience, which is conveyed in the expression Abd. This is the secret. As in the first verse, there is a promise for forgiveness and also the glad tiding of becoming the beloved of God. So thus, this verse, that Kul Ya Ibadi, say O my servants, means in effect, Kul Ya Muttabe, say O my followers, who are involved in a magnitude of sins, despair not of the mercy of Allah. For Allah, through the blessing of you following me, will forgive all your sins. Further, if the word abad, that is servants in this verse, is construed as only meaning the servants of Allah, the meaning of the verse is distorted. For it cannot be true that God Almighty would forgive all idol worshippers and disbelievers without their believing in and following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, if one is not complete and perfect in their faith, and is not perfect and complete in the following of the Prophet, he cannot be forgiven. Idolaters and disbelievers are not going to be forgiven as such. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, such an interpretation would be contrary to the express directions of the Holy Quran. So thus this is the glad tiding for every such person. Who displays perfect obedience and following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through this perfect following, even the most immense sins are forgiven. As I stated, I will present some examples of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. In this Ramadan, where Allah has created such an atmosphere of piety, and this atmosphere is created every year when Ramadan comes, one's attention is drawn towards piety, and it has done so during this Ramadan. If in the true sense, and if in reality, one wants to become the Abd, the servant of God and God's beloved, it is also necessary to continue to following the practice and the model of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It is not that you just act upon his example once. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's acts and his model were not just in relation to one aspect, and nor were they only limited to Ramadan. In fact, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has stated, Kana khulukuhul Qur'an, his morals were the Holy Qur'an, and they encompassed all aspects of life. His morals were actually exactly in accordance with the high morals of the Qur'an. So thus, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said, that give the good news of limitless mercies, that might comfort those who are brokenhearted in consequence of their immense sins. This can only occur when one has a resolute determination to follow the practice of the Holy Prophet and then actually practically implement it with firmity and steadfastness. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, here it should also be borne in mind that the gist of this verse, the summary of this verse, the actual purport of this verse would be as follows. Those who become the sincere servants of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be bestowed with the light of the faith, the love and the passion, which will deliver them from all that is beside Allah. They will be freed from sins. They will be bestowed a pure life in this very world. They will be delivered from the narrow and dark graves of human passions. Now, one purpose of Ramadan is to acquire the pleasure of Allah and to become the servant of God and worship Him. And this is what is salvation from anything other than Allah. In order to fulfill this, it is necessary to follow the practical example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The promised Messiah thus continues. They will be bestowed a pure life in this world. They will be delivered from the narrow and dark graves of human passions. That is, those who follow the Prophet. This is indicated by the hadith. I am the resurrector at whose footsteps the dead are raised. Being risen from the dead of the footsteps means those who will follow me, those who will follow my footsteps. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then continues. It should be clear, the Holy Quran is full of the idiom that the world had died and that God Almighty revived it through sending the Khatamul Anbiya, the seed of all the prophets, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and revive the world in a new way. As Allah the Almighty states, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيَى الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. That is to say, know that Allah quickens the earth after its death. In this same way, it is said with reference to the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. This means that God helped them with the Holy Spirit. The help of the Holy Spirit is that it revives the hearts, delivers from spiritual death, bestows pure faculties, pure senses, and pure knowledge. It carries a person to the station of nearness to God through certain knowledge and conclusive arguments. What is deliverance from spiritual death? It is to sacrifice worldly desires. It is to sacrifice oneself. Allah the Almighty has drawn attention towards this again and again in the Holy Quran. It is to give preference to God's desires and God's will. Thus the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, did all of this, and subsequently Allah the Almighty infused in their heart a spiritual life. They were given pure faculties, and through this they challenged Satan. Their thoughts were also cleansed. They were granted knowledge of the Holy Quran. Through this, their certainty and their faith reached the pinnacle levels. They achieved certainty of belief in the existence of God. And they also observed the manifestation of the power of God themselves. Through this, they acquired the nearness to God. All of this they achieved by following their master and their guide, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They thus gained further insight and perception into this command of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And as for those who strive in our path, we will surely guide them in our ways. As I stated, they obtained all of this by following in the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "This knowledge on which salvation depends cannot be obtained without that life which is bestowed through the Holy Spirit, that is the Ruhul Qudus." The Holy Quran affirms it most emphatically that the spiritual life is obtained only through following of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This knowledge which has been mentioned, through which one is delivered from spiritual death, one obtains pure faculties, pure knowledge, pure strength, and pure knowledge. Regarding this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that knowledge on which salvation depends. Cannot be obtained only through a person's own endeavors. Rather, a person obtains this through the Ruhul Qudus, the Holy Spirit. And he states, the Holy Quran says most emphatically that the spiritual life is obtained only through the following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a spiritual life, not a physical life. And this is obtained through the following of the Holy Prophet. All those who repudiate obedience to him are dead. The promised Messiah states, all those who repudiate obedience to him, that is the Holy Prophet, are dead and do not possess that life. In other words, a spiritual life. Spiritual life means the intellectual and active faculties which are brought to life by the Ruhul Qudus, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Quran establishes that the commandments of God to which he desires man to conform are 600. In consonance with this, the wings of Gabriel are also 600. Till the eggs of humanness lies under the wings of Gabriel, bearing these 600 commandments, it cannot hatch the baby of being completely lost in Allah. That is to say, the similitude has been given of the egg of human birth. Unless one adopts all the 600 commands, until that point, a person cannot be completely lost in Allah. That child cannot be born which would be very near to God. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says further, the reality of man has the capacity of 600 eggs. That is to say, this is not something difficult to achieve. Within human nature, Allah the Almighty has given this strength and capability that if He desires and endeavors to do so, He can adopt these 600 commandments. He has the strength and capability to do this. The Promised Messiah says, a person whose 600 eggs are covered by the 600 wings of the capacity of Gabriel. A person whose 600 eggs are covered by the 600 wings of the capacity of Gabriel is the perfect man. His spiritual birth is perfect and his life is perfect. In other words, once all of this is attained, it is then that true spiritual birth occurs and one obtains a spiritual life. Thus, it is necessary to try to adopt all these 600 commands upon oneself. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says further, if one looks with care, one finds that the spiritual issue of the eggs of humanness, which by the blessing of the following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were born to the Holy Spirit, are more perfect and complete than the spiritual children of all the other prophets. That is to say, these spiritual attributes and faculties that were created in man as a result of following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their quantity, in their nature, in their state, and in every single aspect. In comparison to all the spiritual revolutions born from the other prophets, are much greater. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that this is indicated by Allah in a verse, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that you are the best people, raised for the good of mankind. After being declared the خَيْرِ أُمَّةِ, the best people, we often hear this in speeches being mentioned. So in order to become the best people, it is necessary to adopt all those spiritual revolutions, to adopt all those conditions and states which we have been taught to, which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, and which the Holy Quran has also stated. When a person reforms, when he reaches this station, it is then that he can also prove beneficial in reforming others. This work then also becomes fruitful of reformation. When we strive to follow in the footsteps of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, when we strive to fashion our lives in accordance with the life of the Prophet, when we continue carrying out a self-analysis and striving to move forward in virtues, when we look in which aspects, where and when, and to what degree are we striving to implement the commands of Allah in the Holy Quran, it is then that we can bring about a revolution in ourselves. It is only then that we can carry out the work of conveying the true message of Islam to the world. So thus, a sinful person can most indeed become an abd, the servant of God. All his sins can be forgiven. However, this is conditional upon following on the footsteps of the Holy Prophet and endeavoring in this way, and to make efforts with all one's strength and capabilities. Now we observe that there are different aspects of the life of the Holy Prophet and his practical example. Allah the Almighty has commanded us with regards to following these different aspects of his practical example. And this is what the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained, that to what degree and how a person can obtain this. By following this usfa, this practical model, one achieves the love of God. Through this, one comes into the lap of his loving God. First of all, let us see the example set by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of love of God, gratitude to God, and the worship of God. This was that great prophet who would spend the entire day in matters of governance and engaged in the spiritual development, upbringing, and nourishment of his followers and showing them the path in this way. He would thus be busy even in ordinary days, during battles and during emergency situations. Aside from his ordinary daily activities, he would also exert himself physically to the extreme proportions. Yet, we do not find any impediment even in his worship during the day or during the night. When he stood up for worship at night, his feet would swell up, and he would do so because Allah had commanded that worship at night. Sometimes his worship at night would be so long that it was more than half the night, and at times it was half the night. Allah the Almighty states, "Inna nashiyata layli hiya ashaddu watan wa aqwa muqila." That verily, getting up at night is the most potent means of subduing the self, and the most effective in respect of words of prayers. It is related that Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you are already close to God. Why do you put yourself through so much pain?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "O Aisha, afarakunu abdan shakura?" That if I am one who is close to God, if Allah the Almighty has bestowed His favors and bounties upon me, does it not behove of me, is it not my duty to become a grateful servant of His? Gratefulness occurs in line with beneficence. Thus the Holy Prophet always remembered the favors of God and expressed gratitude. Upon us it is a favor of Allah the Almighty that not only did He make us Muslims, but He also enabled us to extend the greetings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to His true and ardent devotee, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. This favor alone is so immense that we can never thank God for this. An Ahmadi cannot thank God fully for this. However much we try, however much endeavor we carry out for this, we cannot extend our gratitude for this. Thus, an Ahmadi should make the effort that in accordance with our capacity and capabilities, we should pay the dues of the worship of God. During Ramadan, when we have come into the habit of performing the nawafil, the optional prayers, this should not be a temporary routine. And they should not only be for our worldly objectives. Rather, most of it should be for the gratitude of God. Then the impact and effect of this worship should manifest upon the truthfulness of our words and deeds. When we become the best people and try to reform the world, our words will only be effective and impactful when this will be our state and our condition, as I have explained. This I related with reference to the optional prayers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and how he would stay awake at night. But even in the obligatory prayers, he was so careful. Even in extremely serious illness, when one is permitted to pray sitting down or lying down or in the home, even in serious illness, with support, the Holy Prophet ﷺ would come to the mosque to offer the congregational prayers. However, despite all of this, there is so much strictness in the prayer. The Holy Prophet gives so much significance and importance to the prayer. He did not like pretense and showing off. Once the Holy Prophet saw a rope dangling at home. When he inquired about its purpose, he found out that Hadrat Zainab, may Allah be pleased with her, when she tired in the prayer, she would use this rope for support to stand up. The Holy Prophet expressed displeasure upon this. The Holy Prophet said, as long as a person happily with his heart and soul and easily can perform worship, he should. When a person tires, then sit down. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was granted so much strength and capacity that even when his feet swelled up, he would stay standing up. However, others have also been given the facility to sit down. But this does not mean, as sometimes have the habit of just praying sitting down. Some people are in the habit that they wake up for Fajr in the morning without the ablution, they do the tayammum and say their prayer sitting. All of this is wrong also. Nobody should take inappropriate benefit from these provisions in the worship. Because then this would not really be worship. One should take their capacities and capabilities to the maximum levels. Every person can gauge themselves what their capacity and abilities are. When this occurs, every person can justifiably say that I am striving to follow the practical model of the Holy Prophet. We have seen the level of gratitude and worship which the Holy Prophet established before us in his model and which I have related. However, in spite of this, on one occasion, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that no one will enter paradise only through his own actions. Upon this, Hadrat Abu Huraira inquired that, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what, even you will not be entering paradise due to your actions? Because you spend your entire night in worship, your feet swell up. You efface yourself completely in the prayer. The Holy Prophet replied, Yes, I also will not enter paradise just due to my actions. Indeed, it is due to the mercy and the compassion and blessing of Allah that will enter me into paradise. What a state of fear and trepidation this is. Those people who walk around haughtily upon just a few acts of virtue, what a state of fear this is for them. May God the Supreme keep us cloaked under His forgiveness and mercy. May we be those who truly fulfill the worship and also enable us to be those who become full of humility. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that adopt piety and virtue in your tasks and look for the paths of God. He said nobody should desire death, because if he is virtuous, then he will increase in virtues and he will become the recipient of the blessings of God. If he is wicked, he will gain the opportunity for repentance to God. This repentance is also achieved through the grace of God. One should pray for this also. Otherwise, the majority in the world are of the type who are immersed in vices and they are increasing in this. The Holy Prophet has stated this for Mu'mins, that is true believers, and also with regards to those very small vices and weaknesses, that one will gain the opportunity to remove them. So therefore, in Ramadan, a person strives to remove his weaknesses and his vices. For this reason, we should increase this effort and we should continue it also. This injunction of the Holy Prophet is for those people who give attention towards repentance. After giving this attention to repentance, they strive to increase in their virtues. They pray that death is indeed destined. However, death should occur at that point when, O Allah, you are pleased. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that one who does not use his capabilities and the bounties received by God appropriately carries out insolence. The correct use of these capacities is in worship. It can be said to use these capacities properly is also worship. all the body parts of a person, the ears, eyes, tongues, hand and feet, etc. To do pious tasks with these also is a form of worship. To listen to virtuous things with your ears makes one the recipient of God's pleasure. Whereas it is a sin to listen to backbiting and people picking out others' faults. If one keeps his ear permanently shut that I do not want to hear something bad, then this is also an inappropriate use of it. Because this is also a type of insolence. Similarly, there is the eye, there is the tongue, there are also the hands and also the other body parts. This is also the same state of these. Nowadays, we are passing through Ramadan. It is a command of Allah that eat the sehri and also eat the iftari. The Prophet ﷺ demonstrated this to us through his practical example. He who does not follow this command of Allah the Almighty, he carries out insolence apart from some compelling circumstances. Sometimes there are some obligations due to which he cannot immediately eat the iftari, or for some reason he cannot eat the sehri. If despite good health one does not observe the fast, this is also insolence and a sin. In short, when one benefits from the commands and the blessings of Allah, however they are received, and to benefit from them in an appropriate manner, this becomes a virtue. To use these inappropriately is a sin, or to use them in an untimely fashion is a sin. This is what the Holy Prophet taught us through his practical example. The Holy Prophet ﷺ had extraordinary levels and the pinnacle levels of forbearance and tolerance. Before the prohibition of alcohol, one companion said a lot of things to the Prophet. He remained quiet and did not reply. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ was granted governance, he came to Medina and he established there. We also find the loftiest examples of forbearance there. We observe in the world, when a person obtains money or receives an office, he does not tolerate anything at all. If anyone says something contrary to his temperament, then he becomes enraged. However, what was the attitude of the Holy Prophet? Once a Jew came. He started arguing with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During this argument, he kept saying, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And he would keep on saying, "O Muhammad," during this argument. This was that time when the Holy Prophet was the ruler of Medina. In fact, his governance had spread far and wide. The companions were not pleased with this form of addressing the Holy Prophet. For the companions would always say, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah." And the non-Muslims would address him as Ibn Qasim. Because the Jew kept on saying, "O Muhammad," the companions angrily told off the Jew that if you cannot say, "O Messenger of Allah," at least call him Ibn Qasim. The Jew said, "I will call him the same name which was given to him by his mother and father." Upon this, the Holy Prophet smiled. He said that he is correct. "My mother and father, name me Muhammad. Let him address me as such. Do not become angry upon this." Sometimes it would occur that people would grab his hand and make him stand up. At times, they would prove to be impediments in his urgent tasks. His time would be wasted. However, with great patience and great forbearance, he would listen to whatever people had to say, and he would fulfill their needs. The level of his justice was such that if somebody committed a crime, he would not look if the person was rich or poor, or if he was of a noble family or not, or an ordinary person. Once a wealthy lady tried to usurp someone else's property or possession. This lady was punished. Many of the people of the tribe became anxious. in particular those who were close to her. Because this was a woman of a very noble family, why was she punished? Usama was sent to the Holy Prophet ﷺ to try and have her forgiven. The Holy Prophet heard what they had to say and expressed great anger. The Holy Prophet was he who was the embodiment of kindness, compassion and generosity. He never became angry. However, on this occasion, he was angry. He said, "You have come for intercession against God's command?" The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that people before you were destroyed because they would only consider those of high status and would be cruel to those who were lowly. Islam does not allow this. I swear by God, if my daughter Fatima also committed a crime, I would not leave her without punishment. Nowadays, we observe that this standard of justice has vanished from the Muslims. And this is proving to be the means of their decline. So therefore, we should also be extremely careful on this matter. Our office holders also need to fulfill the standards of justice. They need to establish these very levels of justice, because otherwise this is extremely dangerous and will be a means of decline. Then there is the Holy Prophet's sense of justice with the enemy in light of the Quranic commandment. What examples did the Holy Prophet set in this regard? I shall present just one. Once the Holy Prophet ﷺ sent some companions towards Mecca as messengers. When they reached into the boundary of the Haram, there they found some people. Either they knew them or they were suspicious that they would go and inform the people of Mecca. For this reason, these companions attacked them and one of them was killed from amongst them. When these companions returned to Medina, there was also a delegation that came behind them from Mecca with a complaint that these people had come and killed one of them in the boundaries of the Haram. Now they could have been given the reply that you have perpetrated so many cruelties upon the Muslims and so many crimes even in the boundaries of the Haram. Have you forgot this? Yet the Holy Prophet replied, "Fine, perhaps those people did not confront the companions for this reason, that they will seek protection within the boundaries of the Haram and that their life would be saved." Our people carried out a transgression and he said to them, "Yes, we are ready to give blood money." So in accordance with the tradition of the Arabs, they paid the blood money. So thus, these were the standards of justice, which was established by the most just and greatest person in this regard. Look also at the extreme levels of taking care of other sentiments. A Jew comes to the Prophet with a complaint that Hadrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu has hurt my feelings. He said that, "I swear on oath of God that Allah the Almighty has made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more superior than Moses alayhi salam." Hearing this, the Jew said, "This hurt my feelings." Now, this is a reality that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all prophets. The Holy Quran testifies to this. Yet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned Hadrat Abu Bakr and inquired from him. Hazrat Abu Bakr stated that this person started this and said, "I swear on oath that Moses has been given superiority upon all else." The Holy Prophet said, "Even then you should not have done this. You should take care and regard others' sentiments." So this was consideration for others' feelings and sentiments. Then there is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's regard for those who serve humanity. It is mentioned in the narration that once there was some quarrel or skirmish with people of a tribe and some Muslims took prisoners. Amongst the prisoners was the daughter of the renowned generous Arab called Hatim. When the Prophet came to know about this, he negotiated and upon the recommendation pardoned the people of a tribe. So therefore, this was the example of the benefactor of mankind, the Muhsini Insaniya, towards those who are compassionate to humankind. How did the Holy Prophet establish respect and honor for women? According to Arab customs, men used to beat the women and their wives. When the Prophet came to know of this, he said, "Women are God's maids and slaves. They are not your maids." A companion once asked the Prophet, "What are the rights of our wives upon us?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Feed her whatever God has provided you with. Clothe her with what God has given you to clothe. Do not slap her, and do not abuse her, and do not turn her out of the house." Nowadays, some complaints and incidents come to light in this respect. People should reflect and ponder. On the one hand, they ask for prayers from God, and on the other hand, they are disobeying the commands of God. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "The best of you is he who is the best to his family, and I am the best among you in my kind treatment to my family." As has already been mentioned earlier, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite his engagements in his government matters and also his other daily routines, and he was also extremely engrossed in his worship, yet despite this, he would also be involved in his domestic life and also the task at home. Hadrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, relates that in whatever time the Holy Prophet would be at home, he would remain engaged in helping the people at home. His other engagements would not prove to be an impediment in his domestic work. He would patch his own clothes, he would milk the goats. If he came late from work, then he would have his food himself and not wake anyone up. So therefore, this is the blessed model for those who assume that if we carry out work at home, it will be a sin. If we come late from work, it is the duty of the wife necessarily to get up and make us food. If this does not occur, then our control and aura over the home does not diminish. Such people are not satisfied lest they have ranted and raved at their wives. There are some with regards to whom there are complaints that they carry out Jamaat work. They have a very good reputation outside, but at home they are so harsh with their wives that a person is shocked even hearing about this, that how different a person is outside the home and inside. This is double standards. There are husbands who are being ruined due to the bad influence of their sisters and their mothers. If a man makes tea for a guest, then it is said that he has become the slave of his wife. Or what has happened? Look at how his wife is. That from our son or our brother, they are taking work. How pitiful is our son, how pitiful is our brother that he is carrying out work of the home. In this way, the husband becomes insane. He starts becoming very harsh upon the wife. Whereas, pitiful are not those people who carry out this work, because this is the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by following which they are obtaining blessings and catering for their life in the hereafter and are striving to become a true servant of God. They will become pitiful at that point when they become harsh to their wives and come into the wrath of God, when they will be questioned that, "Did you profess to believe and demonstrate it in this way, that on the one hand you make this claim to adopt high moral standards and on the other you act in this way?" So such men should also be concerned for themselves. What were the examples of the Holy Prophet towards children and the love towards him? It is mentioned in the narration that for his own children and for those who live nearby, he would pray for them that, "O Allah, I love them. You also love them." He never punished children. He would always, through prayers and love, guide them. Hazrat Abu Huraira relates, whenever the first fruit came, then he would pray for the blessings in this fruit. And he would first of all give that to the child present in the gathering. It is also mentioned that he would play with children. Sometimes parents love their children, but there are some also who unnecessarily reprimand their children. Just a few days ago, a youngster met me. He said, I am always in terror and I am suffering from depression. And he has done so because my father always hits me. When someone asks that why do you unnecessarily hit your child, he said, I do this because it is necessary to keep an aura and control over them. So some parents are of this type. There are also such cruel fathers. Here we see that there are many incidents of this type in the news, that there are such parents who for their personal desires also kill their children. There are some who do love their own children, but they cannot tolerate other people's children. They do not love them. The example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to love all children. If there is a command in the Holy Quran to be good towards your neighbor, the Holy Prophet also established the loftiest example of this, and he counseled his followers again and again with this regard. Once the Holy Prophet said, I swear by God, he certainly is not a believer, he certainly is not a believer, he certainly is not a believer. The companion said, O Messenger of Allah, who is not a believer? The Holy Prophet said, he who from whose harm and ill treatment his neighbor is not safe. So therefore, I have mentioned just a few of these aspects. Whether it relates to good treatment of relatives, matters of mutual cooperation, matter of overlooking something indulgently, or matter of shunning suspicion, or the matter of keeping positive thoughts about someone, or any other high moral standard, the blessed model and the advice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be found in all aspects. Thus, this is the Abd-e-Kamil, the perfect servant, who showed the perfect servitude in every respect. He established a perfect example in all ways, and he created a revolutionary change in ignorant people and made them people of God. Thus, if today we want to derive benefit from these blessings, which are related to coming into the Muslim community of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if we want to truly fulfill the right of being a servant of God, we need to tread on the path of this example so that we can come to become the recipient of God's blessings and cater for our life in this world and the next. So therefore, pray nowadays, pray today also in these last few days of Ramadan, because this is the month of the acceptance of prayers. And pray your entire life that Allah makes us true believers, that Allah the Almighty enables us to become those who tread on the footsteps of the Holy Prophet. I shall now present some extracts of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He says, Allah the Almighty commands Muslims that they should follow the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should follow his every word and deed. This is why Allah the Almighty says, we have in this messenger the most perfect model and example. Then Allah says, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you. If the words and actions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not devoid of mistakes, and why would it be necessary for us to follow his example? Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, a person cannot instill perfect love of God within himself until he adopts the morals and all the actions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and use it as his guide. Allah the Almighty has stated this himself. He says, say, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you. That is, in order to become the beloved of God, it is necessary to obey and follow the Holy Prophet truly. It is to adopt all the qualities of the Prophet within oneself. The promised Messiah says, one cannot obtain salvation through efforts but only through the grace of God. In order to acquire this grace, Allah has set a law. Allah never falsifies this. That law is that say, if you love Allah, follow me, then Allah will love you. And also, and whoso seeks a religion other than Islam, it shall not be accepted from him. That is, first of all, it says that if you desire the love of Allah, then follow me, then Allah will love you. And the meaning of the second verse is, anyone who tries to adopt any other religion other than Islam, that will never be accepted from him. Islam is the only religion which one should follow. And what is Islam? It is every word and deed of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah the Almighty enable us to come to understand this reality. May this Ramadan depart having shown us the real insight, and may we follow the blessed model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the next Ramadan and transverse new stages.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.